The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
You're listening to The Nonprofit Voice, brought to you by 100 Women Who Care About Long Island. 100 Women Who Care About Long Island is a giving circle made up of local women who want to financially support vetted Long Island charities and help shed light on the work that they do. This show is produced by Marketing Works. And good morning. This is Laura Palker. We are so happy to be on the air this morning and live in the studio. Very exciting. Before we get started, I do want to send out our heartfelt prayers and wishes for fast recovery for the people in Florida who have been affected by the hurricane, and also just our undying love for those who are working with the nonprofits and who are volunteering to aid those people. So devastation is just unbelievable. So thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. We've got a great program lined up for you. One of the people who is creating some miracles on Long Island is our next guest, Christine Fitzpatrick, founder and executive director with League of Yes. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
It's so great to be back in the studio live because it was a long break. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So for our listeners who maybe haven't heard about you yet, please tell us, what is the League of Yes?
The League of Yes is an amazing, beautiful program for children with disabilities and terminal illnesses to play baseball.
Baseball, America's favorite sport.
That's right.
I have to tell you, I really was so moved by the links that you sent me to the YouTube video. So we're going to let people know on how to access those links. And it was just so moving to see those children so proud and so smiling and their families. You're doing great work, great work. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that. As you tell us about the program, how long has the program been in existence?
Well, this year, so excited that we've actually been in existence for 11 years. 11 years for a small little nonprofit is pretty amazing that we're actually still up and working and running and growing. We started the program back in 2011. We did a test pilot and we barely had 30 kids show up for the first 6 weeks and barely had 30 volunteers. Pre-COVID, we had over 300 children playing and over 1,800 volunteers. It's a crazy number.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. 1,800 volunteers.
1,800 volunteers because we run the program. Now we have two fields, technically three. So what I love about the volunteer program, which kind of was my push, is I didn't want somebody to have to commit to 6 weeks in the spring and 6 weeks in the winter. I wanted to bring in a different organization every week, different bunch of children, because a big part of our volunteer program, we call it Buddies, which stands for Because Unbelievable Dedication Deserves You. The underlying quiet cause that we have is bringing in an atypical child, working with a child with special needs. It breaks the barrier for bullying. It's once they understand that the children that we work with are just kids wanting to have fun. And it pulls at your heartstrings. But again, I hate to say the word ignorance, right? I don't say it in a mean way, but we all are ignorant, right? Mm-hmm. About something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, when they're approached or in a room with a child with special needs, they're afraid to approach them because they just don't understand the child and what the child's true abilities are. A lot of these children are amazing as far as their athleticism. Mm-hmm. We have a skills program that actually we, over the years, have cherry-picked out a bunch of the kids that were really good and hitting the ball over the fence. And it was actually dangerous for our other kids that, let's just say, are in wheelchairs and have spina bifida or cerebral palsy and can't utilize their hands. So we now have a skills program. We actually had our Night Under the Lights last night. That's an annual game that we do. And there's a group, there are 26 of them, and they've all been playing together for the past 8 years. And it is just so much fun. They just have the best time because they don't need volunteers. They're learning the game. They're more on the spectrum, Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And they're phenomenal athletes. However, they can't play in a what's called a typical baseball program. But they shine in this league. It's awesome.
So I have a little bit of experience. One of my cousins has a child with spinal bifida. And I know that, you know, the prognosis was that you know, she wouldn't even be able to maybe live for very long. And she's doing unbelievable. Yeah. And so, you know, God plants miracles in so many different ways that we would never imagine, never understand, or even comprehend. Yeah. And, you know, that ignorance, I think it really comes forward when we, you know, we know what we know, mm-hmm. and we know what we don't know,
right.
but we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
And it's that blind spot sometimes that steers us wrong or causes us to have uncomfortable feelings. And you touched on another thing very important is the bullying. You know, and I oftentimes find that bullying is coming from a fear.
Yep. You know? And a lack of understanding.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
So talk to us, because again, I had the fortune of taking a look at the videos before today. So talk to us a little bit about your volunteers, because that was amazing to me.
Right. I believe I just sent you the video with St. John's University baseball team that had come down. They come down every single year at 40 guys. And working with the children, the children love for them to be there. And they love to come down. We had them down, again, pre-COVID. And they had one of our players do this, like, silly dance. And then they all exploded off the home plate. And I put that up on Facebook, as I do every week, you know, of the kids. Next thing you know, we had 30 million views all over the world that everybody was watching one of our players, Billy, do this like dance. And it was just so beautiful. Never in a million years did I think that this video would go viral. You know, that was never my intention. I just always put up the videos so people can see what we're doing each week. And the child feels like they're spotlighted. Right. But yeah, this video just took off. And again, it was the energy from the volunteers, because the volunteers get so into it, you know, with the players, and they just have so much fun with them. You know, you and I were talking off air a few minutes ago about, you know, you can talk about a program, you know, till the cows come mm-hmm. home. I could send you as many videos as you want to see. However, when you come down to the field, and the energy is just, it's addicting. I get volunteers that I'm like, oh my God, you're back again. They're like, we want to come back every single week. I'm like, I can't get rid of you. So it is. It's just, I have music playing. We're dancing. We're having a great time. Every kid that's not in the skills program, our regular program, you get up, you hit the ball, you get a home run. We have a human tunnel of love, we call it, that the kids run through. They get all high fives. And it's just, it's the best part of their day. It's just so much
fun. The human tunnel of love, yes. Yeah. And it was great, because whether they were in a wheelchair,
yep.
whether they were in getting assisted with a volunteer and walking through, it was so amazing to see those smiles. And I can say that's one thing that was uniform throughout,
yeah.
ear to ear.
Yep. Absolutely.
Ear to ear. So I think the thing I was so astounded by the volunteers is that they were young people. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, we hear so many things about millennials and about the young people and a different generation. But what I saw was leadership. Yeah. What I saw was community building. Mm-hmm. What I saw was giving of oneself to someone to make their day brighter. And, you know, when you see something like that from the young people, it gives you a hope for tomorrow. It gives you really, really settles you in a way that you can understand that we're going to be all right.
Absolutely. It is amazing. And we had this one kid come down. I mean, I have a million stories, but his face just came up. He played for a baseball team for Patchwork Med. He's probably in college right now, but he fell in love with the children. He wanted to go home and do something. And he talked to his dad. He's like, I want to do something for these kids. I love them. Our logo is a heart. And he literally ripped the skin off of a baseball and he twisted it, and it's a perfect heart. He started mm-hmm. his own nonprofit called Hearts for a Cause. He raised $2,000 for my organization and $2,000 for another organization because of the day that he went there and that he was moved. And that's what we're all about when it comes to the volunteers, of bringing them in. I mean, there's so many beautiful stories of after leaving that these kids are moved, they're touched, they're humbled, and they want to get more involved. And that's the whole thing about the bullying, because it just changes their perspective, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
Right. You know, one of the things that's been a common theme that's come up over the last several months is that the pandemic changed the world. The pandemic yeah. really caused people to react, and everyone reacted in a very different way. Mm-hmm. Some became fearful. Mm-hmm. Some became bolder. A lot of people reassessed what life purpose was. However, I've been saying that, you know, what a great opportunity for you to have a blank, you know, slate, volunteer, and really begin to experience some of these other things in the community. Because I know even for myself that I was running so fast that maybe my feet weren't so planted on the ground. Maybe my feet got a little disconnected, you right. know, from purpose and from meaning. And so what a great time to, you know, venture out. Call mm-hmm. one of our nonprofits, and we're going to get to how we get in touch with you to volunteer, experience other people, experience good people, mm-hmm. and get to get your feet planted back on the ground.
That's right. Love that.
So tell me, are you still looking for players?
We are always looking for players. We only have 3 weeks left. Unfortunately, it's a rain out, canceled for tomorrow, today. And we have 2 weeks after that, and the season's over. But with that being said, we start up again in April. We're always looking for players. We're slowly getting everybody back after COVID. We still have a bunch of frail, medically frail children that their parents are just not ready for them to come back onto the field. Totally understood. This is the first year we're bringing volunteers back. Last year, mm-hmm. I wouldn't allow volunteers. I said anybody that's within your family bubble, they can come and they can help assist you, because that's the biggest part of this program, because we let the parents sit on the sideline while they get a break and their kids can go out and get a break from their parents and right. have some fun with some other people. So we would love to have more players.
So yeah. How do people reach you to what's the process for becoming a player?
It is so simple.
Okay.
All you need to do is to go to our website. It's leagueofyes.com. It's leagueofyes.org. Either one is going to bring you to the main page. You go to registration and you register. My email's on there. Greg Cook's email's on there. He's the program director. And my phone number's on there. So I have parents call me all the time asking me questions. And I will pick up the phone. I will call you back. I just want this program to be out there. And if the families are listening here that you don't think that your child can do this, just come down one time. You don't even have to register. If you're in fear or thinking, no way, my kid's going to like this, I offer this out to every parent. Bring your child. Just come down for a day. Maybe come down to watch. Come down onto the field and play. Absolutely come down and play and try it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you don't know. You don't know what your kid wants. And you don't know. You don't know until you know, right? Just right. Like we were saying before. Bring him down. Try it out. It's the League of Yes. We don't say no.
Right. And you know what? It's miracles happen. That's all I can say is, and we really, I just want to take a personal, make a personal note that I have met so many angels on earth and consider you to be one of those for the work that you're doing and the lives that you're touching and the quality of life that you're bringing to so many by doing this. So thank you from the 100 Women Who Care About Long Island, because it is the work that is done by our nonprofits that fills in the gaps, that really makes us complete. Let's get on to a little bit more information on what children are eligible to play and how much does it cost.
So here's the fun thing that I love to say all the time. We're the League of Yes. We don't say no. So with that being said, we don't have an age. We don't have a young age. We don't have an old age. It doesn't matter. You come down. Again, if it's suitable for you and you want to play, that's awesome. If you've had kids come in as young as 4 years old and as old as 27 years old, it doesn't matter. We'll find a place for you. Just come down. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's for baseball, but at the end of the day, it's really not. What it is it's, you know, the hardest thing for children with special needs is friendship and making friends.
Right.
So they're down at this field. They're away from their parents. They're making friends. They're building bonds. They're socializing. They're getting out. They're exercising. They're putting down that iPad, right? And they're always learning. They're always in some type of therapy. Out there, we let them do. It's all them. They can play duck, duck, goose. They can have running tags. It's all good. Dance parties, socially accepted. it's just a lot of fun is really what it comes down to. And it's $100 for 12 weeks worth of play. You get a uniform, a trophy, breakfast with Santa, presents for your siblings. It's whatever we can give and whatever we can do for the community.
So $100 for 12 weeks. Now, I just like to put this out there is that if you own a business or you work for a corporation that is actively involved in social responsibility and giving back to the community, I'm sure that in this League of Yes, that we can find a way that you can sponsor some of the kids who maybe $100 is a little bit much for them. So, and I'm sure that you can speak to Christine by going to that website, www.leagueofyes.com, to find out how you can make that donation. And you can donate for one child, or you could donate for maybe a half a dozen children. You know, the more the merrier.
You're good. You're hired.
So how long is the season for?
So the season is 6 weeks in the spring, 6 weeks in the fall. We typically don't do anything in the summer just because, again, with some of our kids and their medical conditions, being in the sun, being hot, and that could trigger seizures.
Right.
What we are trying to do is we're in the process of raising money for a playground in our Suffolk field. And that will allow us to have more activities for the children to do that we could run a summer camp. So that really is the goal. We're trying really hard. We won a $25,000 grant from State Farms to kick us off. So we just had our golf outing last week. So we're trying really hard to raise money for this field. And it's going to be phenomenal because it's all wheelchair handicap accessible.
So how much money do you need in order to finish that project?
Well, we're looking to raise $500,000. It is a very big playground area. We'd like to add some water elements to it. I'd like to have a pavilion. So we're trying to raise $500,000.
And so that would be a playground on an existing field?
It is. It's over in Bald Hill, where we currently play now, that we have two fields there. And it would be right next to the playing field that we have. We have a very large space. We actually, town of Brookhaven, that I love very much, they made room for us. They cut the big field down. And now we have this big empty area, and that's where we're going to put the playground, and we're going to make it happen.
So, you know that you're talking with good people when the time just flies by, and we are just about the end of our session. So I want to make sure leagueofyes.com or leagueofyes.org, both of them will go right to the homepage on the website. Yep. And this morning, don't delay. Get online and see how you can help.
That'd be great.
Christine, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Nonprofit Voice, brought to you by 100 Women Who Care About Long Island. 100 Women Who Care About Long Island is a giving circle made up of local women who want to financially support vetted Long Island charities and help shed light on the work that they do. This show is produced by Marketing Works.
This is Laura Palker back with you again this morning. And I will say we have such a great program for you today. I would like to take just one moment and talk to you about November 1st, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Melville Marriott. We will be having a nonprofit showcase. If you've been listening to us over the past year, you have heard the amazing, amazing work that these nonprofits have been doing, their innovation, their talent, the way they've pivoted, the way that they've kept doing the work that they do that's so important to our community. And you'll get a chance to meet them face to face. So go to www.100wwli.org and stay tuned for registration. You'll be able to visit us for the evening and meet the nonprofits who will be exhibiting that night. So, without further ado, let's introduce our next guest, a person who's returning. We've had you on a little while ago, Leslie Gang, co-founder of Hindi's Libraries. Hindi, how are you? Oh, I'm sorry, Hi. Leslie, how are you? It's Hindi's Libraries.
That's okay. No, I get that a lot. I am good. How are you? Thank you for having me back on the show.
I'm sorry that it's taken so long, because I was so moved by the work that you were doing and the way that you grew so fast. But for those of us who may have not heard about you, that weren't listening on the first interview, can you give us the background on Hindi's Libraries?
Sure. So Hindi's Libraries is a Long Island-based nonprofit that collects new and gently used children's books from members of the community within the tri-state area, typically, and ships them to organizations supporting families in need across the globe at our expense. And the backstory of the name, the origin is, I'll try to give the very much abbreviated version. In August of 2018, a colleague of mine, whose name was Hindi Krinsky, she was an English teacher at the high school where I was an administrator and a parent of that school as well. She passed away very suddenly from a complication of Crohn's. She was a baby, but she had five children at the time, 8-year-old triplets, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And in her memory, the administration decided to build a little freestanding library box on campus where children in the school during their recess or free period or after school when they were in the neighborhood in the school campus can take a book at their leisure, take a book, leave a book. Hindi was, like I said, an English teacher. She had just gotten promoted to the curriculum coordinator for literacy in the high school. And her family really are the original bookworms that we call all of them. I mean, even the 5-year-olds at the time were reading very, very advanced books. So doing something that focused on reading in her memory was quite appropriate. So we had established this box in December of 18, a couple of months after her passing. We had a beautiful ceremony, and we asked every child in the grade of her eldest kids to bring one book from home that they can share with the school community. And somehow, I like to say it's like the game of broken telephone, went around the Long Island Nassau County community that Leslie Gang and David Kannerfogel, Hindi's husband, are taking everybody's children's books. You know, this one told the parent, told the colleague, who told the hairdresser, who told the neighbor, and within a few weeks, our front doors were packed with just Costco bags and, you know, Target bags of children's books. Before we even had a minute to ask and figure out if there was a plan, they kind of made the plan for us. And so David, Hindi's husband, and I got together, and we tried very quickly to get rid of these books and donate them. So we called the local food pantries in the five towns. We called an organization I found online that supports Long Island children affected by homelessness. And we tried to, you know, distribute them. And as we're trying to clean our houses with whatever had been donated, more books kept coming. And kind of sat back down and said, something's happening. You know, something's kind of being told to us that people are keeping books and they've never found an outlet meaningful where they feel that they can, you know, distribute them. They just kind of keep them. And we're now providing, without really, you know, trying to, we're providing them somewhere where they feel comfortable getting rid of these books or donating these books that had meant so much to their family. And fast forward just about 4 years later, we've distributed almost 400,000 children's books at our expense. We ship them to, like I mentioned, organizations and groups supporting families, either who cannot financially afford to go pick up a book and purchase it, or they live in areas known as book deserts where there aren't any libraries or bookstores accessible to them. So we ship them out. We partner with amazing nonprofits. We've even gotten books internationally through, you know, third-party groups. And it's been wild. It's been a ride. It's been fantastic.
So, Leslie, let's bring some connectivity to that conversation. And if our listeners could take just a moment to think about when you were a child, what was your favorite book? And I'm going to ask you, Leslie, what was your favorite book when you were a child?
So I always loved Ferdinand and I'll Love You Forever. Those were my two favorites. And I still get those donated, so it's a lot of fun to see them.
And I know that for a moment in time, I loved My Secret Garden. And I have to tell you, it just to give you a little bit, you know, and our listeners can maybe get a little nostalgic with us, is that in My Secret Garden, the master of the house would always go to Lake Como, and the children would be behind with the nannies. And I actually did some international business and was in Milan and took a ride to Lake Como. And it was such an incredible experience because here I was in this magical place that I had only read about as a child. So books are so important to people, and what they can do to change a life is miraculous. And so first and foremost, 100 Women Who Care About Long Island want to tell you thank you to you and David for this initiative Thank you to Hindi for her blessings that are put on this program that you so diligently continue. But let's get a little bit more into some information on, you know, the whole world has changed since the pandemic. So what has changed for you since we last spoke?
So we grew quite a bit. We spoke last, I believe, in January. And shortly thereafter, we were invited to appear on Today with Hoda and Jenna live and on World Read Aloud Day. And that exposed our organization to really the entire nation. As much as we try doing outreach, you know, and marketing on our end, very different when a national personality puts you on air live and, you know, kind of announces your organization. So our network has grown not only with, you know, partners who can support us, but with organizations and groups that can really be in need of books. It was really wonderful. First, that moment in time was like the coolest thing ever. You know, you kind of see the back end of everything and you're the producers like, you know, following you when you're going to the green room. And it was really a wild experience. But shortly after that, we did get a little bit of funding, firstly from the show itself and through Cole, who donated a nice amount. But donors, I guess, who had seen us on the show really felt connected to the cause. And we were able to finally, after 4 years of working in our garages and kitchens, we started renting a space that's not large by any means because, like I mentioned, we pay for all the shipping, which means every dollar we take, we think so carefully about how to spend. Everything is triple guessed. So we don't yet have enough to have a large space of what I like to think of Belle, you know, when the Beast shows her that library.
Yes,
and she
yes.
is on that ladder. Uh-huh. I would love to have a space where I have all of our donations out at once. So when a nonprofit calls and says, can you give me Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Secret Garden, Llama Llama, and I could pull, you know, from our stack. We don't have that. But the space we now have, although only a portion of a storefront, we have access to the entire room when we need it. We just have to basically make sure we clean it up after, which is great because now I can host weekly volunteer nights or as often as I'd like. So we've now brought in the community, whereas over the pandemic, I think I mentioned on the last call, people were basically supporting me by picking up books from my house that I would label with their names, taking them home to review them for content and quality and bringing them back. Now we have amazing people that we've never met before joining us sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, and we go through the books together. We package them. We label them. We have a great time. We connect. And, you know, it's hard because we're a very broad nonprofit. You know, I'm located in the five towns right here on Long Island, but sometimes I'm talking to people from California, or this morning I was emailing a woman from St. Lucia that we're partnering with. But I don't always get to see that, you know, really important face-to-face connection. And this brings in volunteers. My youngest volunteers are 4 years old. I have senior citizens who come. I have a group called The Center for people with disabilities. They come once a week. They work in-house with their supervisors. We have people looking for community service, whether they're in high school, middle school. It's so much more meaningful, not only to us, but to the community to see, you know, the back end of it and to be a part of that. That's been probably our most significant growth, is that we've brought in that community aspect on a basis that is continuous. And I've loved seeing it grow because then the volunteers, of course, have more ideas and we can brainstorm while we're sitting there.
Wow. So, Leslie, one of the things that I'm really excited about is next year, we're actually going to try and pre-record our business meetings and send them out to our members so that they can do their voting for grants in their own time in the convenience of their home, and then take our business meetings and go and visit our nonprofit. So maybe we can arrange to have our members of 100 Women Who Care come and do a book quality night.
I would love that.
So let me ask a question. So how do people who want to volunteer, or any of our listeners who want to support you, how do they get in touch with you? What process do you have in place? How does that work?
So I try to make it as easy as possible. We're very active on all social media platforms, and our website as well goes directly to me, whether it's a phone call that's listed with the phone number or an email or the contact us, you know, little widget on the homepage. All the messages come directly to me and David. We will reply to everything. We post about our weekly volunteer nights on social media with a schedule. It's open, you know, doors open from 6 to 8, even if someone just read about it, you know, the night before and they want to see what it's about, we welcome you. If you're looking to partner in the sense of running a book drive in your community, you know, or hosting, you know, a group of students on premises at our volunteer session, or just donating books our way, or, you know, donating to support a shipment of boxes, I'm always available on any means of communication, whether you like to talk on the phone, send a text message, communicate via email. We make it very easy because people are busy. People, you know, have good intentions and a lot of times get sidetracked just because of the juggling everyone is doing. So I try not to make you wait. As soon as you reach out, I like to give you an answer within the hour if I'm able to. So any means, our website, our social media platforms, our phone, all of it is a great way to reach out.
So tell us what that phone number is.
Sure. So the phone number is 516-400-3428.
And the website address?
The website is hindislibrariesplural.org. H-I-N-D-I-S, librariesplural.org. And our social media handles are always at Hindi's Libraries. You could find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're active. We're always communicating with our supporters. That's how we found a lot of our bookworms, as we call them.
So Hindi's is H-I-N-D-I-S-L-I-B-R-A-R-I-E-S. HindisLibraries.org. So good news. And that phone number, just one more time in case you ran and got a pencil, is 516-400-3428. So now let's talk about, I've heard that there's some exciting events and some initiatives that you have coming up and some taking place right now. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So we've got two great things we're working on right now. We've just partnered with a wonderful vendor in the Five Towns area called Warren Levy Karate. He has a huge space right in Cedarhurst on Nassau County. And he and I are partnering to have a pre-Thanksgiving gratitude event. And we're in the process of planning it. It's going to be in one of the first Sundays of November. And it's going to be a really beautiful community event where we will have authors reading to children. We will have inflatables. We will have community vendors showcasing how they support the community, how you can support the community. And in addition, Warren Levy staff will be providing self-defense classes for both adults and children, just kind of how to stand up for yourself, stand up for somebody that you may observe, you know, not being treated properly, giving you some lessons of confidence. And there actually will be books on display for our community to come and take as a gift from Hindi's Libraries. And then, you know, the goal is that they share it with their loved ones when they are done reading it. And we will also be packaging Thanksgiving book packages that we'll be donating to local food pantries and soup kitchens to distribute to families who are eating meals there over the holiday season. So we'll have volunteers to help you put together books that either you've come with you to donate, or that books that we've brought with us that you can package and donate. And it's a really nice vibe. I've had this event in a different fashion a couple of years back, pre-pandemic. Post-pandemic, we had it outside in the fall. But bringing another vendor who is very well known in the Five Towns community by families with children of all ages, and incorporating the concepts of self-defense, you know, kindness towards others. And we'll be having book authors, including myself, reading aloud. Warren Levy himself, who also wrote a children's book, will be having read aloud, and a couple of other Long Island-based authors joining us to read.
That's so exciting. And when you meet the authors, they really are a special talent. I know that several years ago, I did a fundraiser at the Arboretum in Suffolk County with authors and artists, and it was such an amazing day. So I think that this is definitely a place to go. Now, do people need to register to attend?
No, it's going to be open admission. It is a free event. This is not one where we are charging. The feeling is to be, to feel like you're a part of the community. You learn more about the Long Island community, and it's just you're there to do good, get some books, meet some authors, and details will come, again, on our social media and website. You will see details later this month. We're in the process of finalizing the specific date and time, but it will be in November on a Sunday. Family-friendly, free event with a great meaning behind it.
Fantastic. So we have just a little bit more time. So I'd like to know, what makes this nonprofit unique?
It's very interesting. I was asked this question the other day by a gentleman who's helping us with marketing. And I kind of thought, there isn't anybody like us out there. Actually, the question he asked me was, who is your competitor? And I took a step back and I said, we don't have any. And that to me was mind blowing because I never really thought about it. We're not a for-profit business and I'm always looking at competitors. But when I was asked this question, there is no group that collects books. First of all, that's completely volunteer based, no staff, no employees, basically fully remote except our volunteer space we talked about. And collecting books, but not only from Long Island, we partner with a website that charges only $15 for a shipment of books to come to us. So you could fill up a wardrobe box that you could buy at Home Depot. Let's assume it will withhold all the weight and fill it up with books. It could be 4 feet tall and weigh 150 pounds. And that will only cost you $15 to ship. And that in itself has been a crazy partner in the sense that we've had books coming in from California, Seattle, and all of a sudden I see the return label. I'm like, whoa, and I'll see like microwave boxes at my door.
So we are out of time, Leslie, and I just want to tell you, your passion, your enthusiasm, your excitement has not dwindled one bit. As a matter of fact, I think you're on fire. So please visit hindieslibraries.org and see how you can get involved in this amazing endeavor.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.